Morning. Today's daf in Nida is Lamed Gimel. We're in the fourth parak of the Masechta. Yesterday we began the parak. Yesterday, the introduction to our fourth parak dealt with the daughters of Kusim. The daughters of Kusim are not just limited to the daughters of Kusim, but their husbands as well, which we're going to talk a little bit about today. The daughters of Kusim, the Mishnah tells us, are Nida's Mariso's son. So they are going to have the status of Nida from the time that they're born. Now, that is unusual. Why should that be? So, go back to yesterday's stuff, the beginning of yesterday's stuff, where I gave a brief historical introduction to the Kusim, who they are, and the significance of the Kusim. But for our purposes right now, just to stay on point, so the reason why they are Kusim Me'ari Sosam, so we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, we learned yesterday in the Gemara, has to do with the fact that our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rav Meir. Rav Meir's Choshesh Lemiyut. So, as long as there is a chance that they're Anita, so that would be enough. Now, as far as there being a chance, so as we know, it's highly unlikely that a girl who's prepubescent, and when we say prepubescent, we're talking about an infant, it's very unlikely for them to discharge blood. But there's a chance. Yesh sikui. And as there being a chance, so the Chachamim label them Anita from the time that they are born. Now, why don't they just simply go to the mikvah? If, in fact, they discharge blood, wouldn't we be doing the same thing? The Kusim are Jews in the Mishnah's context, in the context of the Mishnah. They're Jewish people, so if we're Nida, so if our women are Nida, they're going to go to the mikvah. Same thing by them; they're going to go to the mikvah. So what's the, why is there a rabbinic decree that their daughters are going to be Nida? So we learned yesterday the reason why is because a number of things. First of all, there's a distorted view of the Torah. Kusim have a distortion of the Torah in which they don't have the drushas that we have. They do abide by the Torah, but not every detail, and certainly not the drushas Chazal. So we have a drasha that teaches us that a infant is going to be a nida even from the time that they are born. That is a drasha that we had. And yesterday, just to summarize yesterday very quickly, it's a drasha. It's a drasha. It's a halacha l'moshe misinai. But anyway, but whatever it is. Meaning an infant, if discharging, is going to be a nida. They don't subscribe to that drasha. They don't subscribe to that halacha l'moshe misinai. So that's why they're not going to react to it. They're not going to respond to it. And they won't take their infants and put them in the mikvah. So as a result of that, so the Chachamim therefore slapped that any kusi is going to be a nida. And what about their husbands? We'll talk a little bit later on this morning about their husbands. And we will explain that halacha. And then the Mishnah went on to say that ba'akusim etamim mishkaf tachtun ke'alyom mibnei she'en bo'al enido. Oh, no, let's talk about their husbands now. Okay, sorry. We're ready. So and then the Mishnah goes on to say that as far as the Kusim are concerned, so they're metame mishkaf tachton kelyon. It's a funny expression of the Mishnah, and we're going to open up this morning by trying to give explanation to this expression of the Mishnah. The Kusim are metame. I'm going to reread it again. The mishkaf tachton, that which they lay on top of kelyon, just like something that is over them. Maybe shem bo alei nidos, because they're having relations with nidos. Okay, to give away a little bit of the Gemara coming up ahead, the bo'al nidos, meaning what? We're talking about every kusi, meaning every male kusi, even the ones that are not married, they're not having relations. So the Gemara qualification, we're going to see a little bit later on this morning, it simply means that the kusim who are in fact married. So they are in fact married. The kusi women have the status of anida. They have that status from the time that they're born. So as a result of that, their husbands are bo'al nida. Let us for a moment just pause and just give a brief introduction to a bo'al nida. The psukim that detail the halachas of tuma, zav, zava. So it is in Vayikra, and it is at the end of Parshas Metzora. In Perek Tesvav, it's the end of Parshas Metzora. So first the Torah outlines the Nida and the Zava, and then the Torah after describing the Nida, V'yim ala Mishkav, hu o ala kli asher hi yoshevet ala b'nag oba yidmar arev, that's the Mishkav Anida, V'im shachov yishkav ish osa, this is Pasuk Chavdal, Perek Tesvav Pasuk Chavdal, V'im shachov yishkav ish osa, and if a man were to have relations with her, usihi nida sa alav. So a really interesting halacha that the Torah introduces us to, and we're going to see a lot about this today, and that is that her nida status now is going to go on to him. V'tamei shivas yamim, and he's going to be tamei for 7 days. V'chol ha-mishkav asher yishkav alav yitzmayim, any mishkav that he's on top of, so that's going to be tamei. Okay. Now, let's try to be clear as possible regarding the transmission of tumah from the nida to her husband when they're having relations with one another. Now, first I'll state the obvious point. They're not allowed to have relations. It's an issur kares for the husband to have relations with his wife while she's a nida. So, obviously, we're talking about an act that's done by issur. Okay, but that's the issur. Now we talk about the tumah tahara. So what is going to be the status of the husband in terms of tumah tahara? So it's really interesting. And that is that her nida status now is going to transmit to him. He's going to be tamei for 7 days just like she's tamei. She's tameya for 7 days. And seemingly, and I'm going to emphasize the word seemingly he's also going to have the status of Mishkav Moshe. Okay, so just so that we're on the same page in just the simple ABCs regarding tumah tahara. So when you have a nida, so she is an avatumah. She's a source of tumah. And that means that anything she comes into contact with is going to be tummy. She's metame Adam, Kalim, people and Kalim. She's going to be obviously also going to be metame Oakland and Mashkin, food and liquids as well. And that is a nida. So that means to say that any person that comes into contact with her is going to be tummy. What kind of tumah? Through simple contact, it's going to be that person is going to be a rishon tumah. Remember, anytime you have a transmission, that means that the tumah is going to drop down a level. So the man who touches her, just simple contact, so that is going to be transmission, but not going to make him a nida. It'll just simply make him a rishon latumah. Okay. Before we go on to the man, just one other point, which we're going to highlight right now as well, and that's as follows. A woman who's a nida, so as a result of that, she has what's called a tumas mishkav. Now, tumas mishkav is a very interesting and unique halacha that relates to a nida, not limited to nida. It also applies to a zav and a zava as well. Also applies to Yoledes, and that is the idea as follows. Anything they sit on that was designed for sitting, anything they're lying down on, which is designed for lying down on, so any of those items are going to be an Av HaTumah, just like she is. That means to say that if she's on a mattress, she's lying down on the mattress, even though there was no contact between her and the mattress, let's say there was something that separated her and the mattress, let's say there were 10 mattresses lying one on top of another, all those mattresses are going to become an Av HaTumah. Now the Torah actually outlines that before. Those are the psukim that I skipped over and raced through. Those are also located in that parsha in the Torah. So this is what's called a transmission of Mishkav. Mishkav u'moshav. Anything meant for lying down for, anything for sitting on top of. Now, what it seems like, as we just read the psukim in the Torah, is that for our Baal Nida, we're going to be introducing two chidushim. One is right and one's wrong. I'll point out which one's right and which one's wrong. So we seem to be pointing out two chidushim. Number one, if a man has relations with a nida, so aside from it being an isser, put the isser aside. We're just talking about tumah tahara. Aside from that, so in terms of tumah, he's not a rishon latumah, he's an avatumah. In other words, because this is a special transmission of tumah, in that because he was bowler, so now it's an avatumah. Okay, is it related to the isser? Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. In other words, he's an avatumah. And his duration of tumah is going to be just like hers, just like she's 7 days of tumea for being a nida. He too is also going to be tumea for 7 days. That's one chiddush in the Torah. Here's another chiddush of the Torah, but I'm just highlighting right now. It's wrong. And we'll see that over the course of today's daf. And that is, he's also given the unique halacha of mishkav. Anything he sits down on is going to be an av hatumah, just like anything she sits down on is going to be an av hatumah. Now, to a degree, that makes sense. Because Vatihi Nidasa Alav. Her Nida status is now going to go on him. So just like she can create Mishkav, he too can create Mishkav. That seemingly also is a Chiddush in the Torah. So hold off on that because, as we're going to learn together, that's not a correct conclusion. Although, you know, we just argued it, but it's not a correct conclusion. And that's coming up also. With all that stated now, let's go to the Gemara. That was a lot of background information, but really all necessary. Okay, Hakusim Matame Mishkav Tachton Ke'elyon. We are on the bottom of Lamed Beis Lamed Beis at the two dots, and the Gemara goes on to explain my Mishkav Tachton Ke'elyon. What does the Mishnah mean by that? Simple question. What's pshat in the Mishnah? So Ilema Diika Yud Mitzas Yasev Alayim Matam Luhu. So the Gemara says maybe it means like this: our kusi, our male kusi, was a bol nida. So he lies down on a mattress, on 10 mattresses. So he's going to be matami all 10. Is that what the Mishnah means? So first of all, pshita dahadarasahu. So the Gemara says, well, that's medrash. Meaning, if that's what the Mishnah wanted to tell us, the Mishnah didn't have to give us such a strange expression. The Mishnah could have just simply said, Medrus. So the Gemara says, here's the Chiddush. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that the Tachton of a Bol Nida, our male Kusi, who had relations with a Nida, is anything he sits on top of, is going to have the same status as a El Yono Shel Zav. Anything that's on the top of a Zav. Now remember, as we just introduced, the halacha of Mishkav and Moshav is anything they're sitting on or anything they're lying down on is going to be an avatoma, which means that if the contact is not underneath them, but a contact is above them just in this context just simply means that they're not on it, but it the object is on them. So under those circumstances, the object is now not an avatoma, but it's a simple transmission. It's going to be a rishon. And now what the Gemara is telling us is, that's the same thing with our Bol Nida. Our Bol Nida, his tachton is going to be like the Elyon of Azav. In simpler terms, it's just a rishon. It's not enough. Now, Mal Yonash Azav in Matame Elo Ochlan Mashkin. And now, what is the basic difference between being an Avatoma versus a Rishon Atoma? It's very simple. This is literally ABCs of Tuma Tahara. An Avatoma is Matame, Adam, Vikalim, Ochlan Mashkin. And a Vlada Tuma, Rishon Tuma, is only Metame, Ochlin, Umashkin. And so now the Gemara points out, that's it. So just like the El Yono Shel Zav is only going to be Metame, Ochlin, Umashkin, after Tachton Shel Bol Nida, and a Metame, El Ochlin, Umashkin, so too the Tachton of a Bol Nida is only going to be Metame, Ochlin, Umashkin, and it's not going to be an Avatoma, and it's not going to be Metame, Adam, Bekelem. El Yono Shel Zav, Minala, now the Gemara from this point going forward is just going to simply establish, how do we know this? Meaning, where are these halachas gotten from? We read the psukim already. We're obviously going to have to reread the psukim, and we will. So, anything that he comes into contact, asher yetachtav yitma, anything underneath him is going to be tameh. Now, that expression in the Torah seems to indicate pretty clearly that anything that is under him, or under the zav, is going to be tameh. Seemingly Tumas Medras. But the Gemara immediately says, even though that's a simple reading of the Torah, that's not the correct reading of the Torah. So my tachtav, ilam tachtav de zav, are we talking about that which the zav sits on? We already have a previous pasuk dedicated to that topic. The pasuk says, same parsha, v'isha sheyigav b'mishkavo, that if a person were to touch his mishkav, meaning the mishkav of a zav, and that person is going to be tameh. So there the Torah clearly articulates the idea that the mishkav of a zav is going to be an avatuma. Fine. So nafka, we learned it from that pasuk. El anagev b'chol asher yehazav tachtav mayniu el yon shozav. So now we're going to say a new pshat in the aforementioned pasuk. The pasuk on the bottom of the previous amud. The hanagev b'chol asher yehazav tachtav. So that means that is el yon shozav. That's a reference to that which is on top of the zav. Meaning the word tachtav, let's translate that into English. It's under it. It's a pronoun. And we've done this a lot lately. When you have a pronoun in the Torah, so it's not clear what the pronoun is modifying. So we understood it to mean asher tachtav, meaning under the zav. Now we're understanding the word tachtav means that the zav is under it, meaning the kli is on top of the zav. And that is what's called el yono shel zav, the top of the zav. And yitma over here does not mean that it's an avatoma. Yitma over here simply means it is now going to be a rishon l'tumah. How do I know that? Skip the parentheses. Nitko akasami tumah chamura ve'evi l'idei tumah kala. Lam l'chashin ametame elo ochlen amashkin. So the Gemara says nitko. Nitko is the idea of it uproots it. Meaning, the Torah didn't have to say the word yitma. Because we already know the tachton shel zav is going to be tameh. Mm-hmm. So by virtue of the fact that the Torah gives us a pasuk, where we reinterpreted the pronoun. The pronoun tachtav is not going on the item, but rather it's going on the zav. The zav is tachtav, and the item above it now comes into contact with the zav. And we're also saying now that the word yitma, which is now unnecessary, is there to teach us that it's a different type of tumah, a lighter type of tumah. Now, how do I know it's lighter? It's very simple, because there's no other direction to go. Meaning, the mishkav of a zav is an avatumah, to the full extent of tumah. So now, which way are we going to go now with that the Torah gives us a new tumah? So there's only one way to go, and that's down. And that means then that the Elyon Shel Zav is only going to be Metame Ochlin Umashkin, and it's not going to be Metame, it's not going to be Metame Adam Mikalim. Emer nitzko achas mitum chamor de lametame adam latame begadim aval adam ubegadim adam o begadim litame. The Gemara says, look, I'm with you in everything you said, but just one detailed question. Look, we're going to go down for the Elyono Shozav. It's not going to be like the Tachton. Tachton Shozav is going to be full Tumah. I say full Tumah, I mean, it's an Ava Tumah. Any person touches it, he's going to be Tumah. And also for full Tumah, it means the following. Let's say that this chair was sat on by a Zav. And now I touch the chair. I become Tumah, and not only that, but the clothing I'm wearing becomes Tumah as well. That's full Tumah. What the Gemara now wants to know, and parenthetically, it works in the opposite as well. If my clothing touched the chair and I'm wearing the clothing, I become Tumah. Okay, that's full Tumah. Maybe, suggests the Gemara now, that the Elyono Shozav, let's just knock it down just a little bit. Meaning that if I touch the chair of a Zav, so then I become Tumah, but not my clothing. Meaning that is a small reduction of Tumah. Not to the extent which we're suggesting is that we're bringing it all the way down where it's not even going to be metame adam mekalem. It's only going to be metame ochlin amashkin. Why don't we say that? Amakra yitma to makala mashma. So the Gemara says no. The word yitma, the nuance of the word yitma means that it's really dropping down a significant level to the point where it's only metame ochlin amashkin. It's not going to be metame adam mekalem. Okay, that was a long sentence, but in that sentence, what we just covered is El Yono Shozav. We now have just established that if something is on top of the Zav, so it's going to become Tameh, but not like the Tachton. The Tachton Shozav is going to be an Avatumah with the full degree of an Avatumah. It's Metameh Adam Ubigadim. But meanwhile, when it comes to El Yono Shozav, it's only going to be Metameh so that the item is a Rishon Tumah, not an Avatumah. Okay, and we have the Psukim that we just darshan. That is step one. Now we have step number two. And we're saying that the Bol Nida, same story. Now, the Tachton Shel Bol Nida Minalan. Now, what about the Tachton, the Bol Nida? So here we have a Bol Nida. The man had relations with a Nida. And he sits on an item. So we're saying now that that's the same. Meaning that the chair that he sits on is going to be a Rishon and not an Av. The Tanya and the Gemara here quotes the Pasuk. Quotes the Drasha. Now, we already saw the Pasuk inside. Vatihi Nidasa Alav. When a man has relations with a woman. So her Nida is transposed to him. Yachol Ya'alel Raglad. The Gemara has a fascinating Havamina. Look, Anita for 7 days. That's a given, right? That's something that has been established since the beginning of the Masechta. But obviously, it could very well be that he was with her at any point during her Nida, meaning he could have been with her on day one, or on day two, or on day six. Now, let's say he was with her on day six. So if we're transposing her Nida onto him, so here's the Havamina. It's a great Havamina. Is that if she's in day six, so you know what he is? He's a Nida on day six. Which means to say that tomorrow night he could tov on the mikvah. That's the Havamina. It's great. And it makes sense. Vatihi Nida sa alav. The Gemara says, Tamalama yitma zayin yamim. Ah, so the Gemara says, good. So that's a great Havamina. But the Pasuk tells us that that's not correct. That he is going to be tummy for a full 7 days. So then good. So now we don't have a pshat now in the pasuk of Vatihini Dasalav. Shayachol Yitma Adam Vikli Cheres. Tamalomer Vatihini Dasalav. Mahimatame Adam Vikli Cheres. Afumatame Adam Vikli Cheres. Okay, so Vatihini Dasalav tells us that he's an Avatama. It's transmission, meaning even though it's contact, but this is a unique transmission because he was Boel her. So therefore, the transmission is a full transmission. He is now going to be an avatama. He is going to be metame adam v'kelim. The Gemara says kli cheres over here just simply because kli cheres is one of the more difficult things to be metame, right? It's only metame from the inside, the interior airspace. So kli cheres over here is just a punctuation of he's going to be metame adam v'kelim. So imahi osa mishkav v'moshav letame adam letame begadim avhu osa mishkav v'moshav letame adam letame begadim. Okay. So now, this should bring us to our logical conclusion, which as I mentioned, I mentioned the Chiddush earlier this morning, and I also mentioned it's wrong, and here's the Gemara telling us it's wrong, which is, if the Nida status is going to be transposed onto him, and he's Metame Adam Mekalim, so then he should be given the Halacha of Mishkav. Anything he sits on is going to be an Avatumah. Just like anything she sits on is going to be an Avatumah, that's logical, right? The Gemara says that is logical, but it's wrong. Why is it wrong? And again, it's because the extraneous nature of the Torah over here, where the Torah adds and the Torah states that anything he sits on, the Bal Nida, is going to be Tameh. That was totally superfluous. If the Torah would have just simply said, Vatihi Nida Sa'alav, that's it. Whatever is true by her is true by him. And the Torah would not have to explicate. By virtue of the fact that the Torah then goes on and says, oh, and by the way, anything he sits on is going to be Tameh, what the Torah is basically tipping us off to is, but it's not the same like her. Matam alam v'chol ha-mishkav asher yishkav alav yitzma'atam, sorry. Matam alam v'chol ha-mishkav asher v'chulei, nat go ha-chasam mitum ha-chamor v'yivei lidei tum ha-kalam. So this is another example of nituk, of taking something and uprooting it. The Torah is going out of its way to say that anything he sits on is going to be tameh, but it's not the same degree of tumah. It's not going to be like her tumah, where she's going to create mishkav. Rather, what is he going to create? It's just a simple... It's a simple transmission. The chair is going to be a rishon l'tuma, not an avatuma. What's the chair that the bol nida is going to be matame? It's only going to be a rishon. It's only going to be matame. Ochlin umashkin, not adam v'kelim. And again, one more round of paruch Rav Achai. So here Rav Achai asked the question. Eima nitko akasim mituma chamor ve'evila dituma kala. Delo li tamo adam li tmuye begadim ava adam u begadim li tame. So again, if we're knocking it down a level, let's knock it down just a little bit. Let's say that the chair is going to be an avatama, but just simply a reduced avatama. What does that mean, reduced? Like we said earlier this morning. Reduced meaning that if the person touches the chair, he becomes tameh, but not the clothing that he's wearing. Or if the clothing touches the chair, the clothing becomes tameh, but not he. Meaning the full avatama would dictate that he and his clothing become tameh, even if only one of the two touches the chair. So we just reduce it just that little bit. And Amar of Asi, Yitma to Makala Mashma. And again, the same answer. The word Yitma, the nuance of the word Yitma in this context means that we're dropping down a full level, where it's the chair of the Balnida is not an avatama at all. It's only a Rishon. Okay, so that was really long, and it was there to make one singular point, that when the Mishnah said that when it comes to the Bol Nida, his Mishkav Tachton is going to be like the Elyon, we now have Pshat. The Pshat is that the Tachton of a Bol Nida is not going to be like the Tachton of a Nida. The Tachton of a Bol Nida is only going to be a Rishon, much like the Elyon of a Zav. That's the Pshat in the Mishnah. I know it took the Gemara a lot longer to say that, but remember, the Gemara cited all the drushas, and the Gemara really dotted every I, crossed every T, but that's the Pshat in the Mishnah. Ema, the Gemara is almost done. The Gemara says, why don't we do the following with the Pasuk? Now, it's good that we have the Pasuk here, and I'm on the right place now. So, I'll read the Pasuk again. Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Chav Dalet. The Im Shachov Yishkav Ish Osa, if a man were to have relations with a Nida, Usihi Nida Sa Alav, and her Nida is going to be on him, V'tameh Shivas Yamim, he's going to be Tameh for 7 days, V'chol HaMishkav Asher Yishkav Alav Yitma, and anything he sits on is going to be Tameh. It's so funny. Now that we know the Gemara, right, after today's daf, like literally, I would not have interpreted the pasuk correctly without the Gemara. Meaning I would have said, he's a Nida. And that which he sits on is going to be a Mishkav. Right? That would have been the simplest reading of the Torah. And meanwhile, we are now better informed, correctly informed. That's not the correct understanding. Anyway, the Gemara now wants to know, we are on Lama Gimel Amud Aleph, about two-thirds of the way down. About halfway down. Maybe the structure of the Mishnah is to be read in the Maybe the structure of the pasuk is to be read in the following manner. Maybe the kol hamishkav, that sounds general, so let's call that a klal. And vatihini desalav is a klal, and kol hamishkav is a prat, and klal prat and b'chol hamashav prat mishkav amoshav in midech rinalob. Why don't we interpret the pasuk in that manner? And if we're operating the pasuk through a klal prat, so we know what the halach is, ein b'chlal ella masha b'prat, meaning it's only the example and nothing else. And it would lead us to a funny conclusion. A bol nida's tameh, true. But the only thing he affects is only going to be mishkav amoshav and nothing else. Maybe that's the pshat in the pasuk. The Gemara is going to dismiss it, but why we're dismissing it, so a couple of opinions. Amar Abayi Yitma Zanyam in Mafsik Ha'inyan. So first of all, this is not a classic klal prat. A classic klal prat first gives us a generality and immediately afterwards gives us the specific. In the pasuk, so you start off with the generality of Vatihini Dasa Alav, but then the Torah interrupts itself, V'tameh Shivas Yamim. That's not an example. That's not a prat. And then Kol HaMishkav Asher Yishkav Alav. So basically we have a buffer that creates distance between the klal and the prat. And Abayi says that's enough to break up the klal prat. So yitma zayin yamim mavsika ingin have a klal prat hamuruchakim zemizeh. And because now there is distance between the two, v'chol klal prat hamuruchakim zemizeh indanen osa b'chol prat. That's Abayi's response. Rava amar lo'olam danim. Rava says no. Meaning, seemingly, according to Rava, that's not enough distance. Meaning, if you want to tell me that it's a klal in one pasuk and a prat in another pasuk, okay. Certainly, yeah, right, this I could say comfortably. If it's a klal in one parsha and a prat in another parsha, okay, that you certainly cannot string together. But over here, we're in the same pasuk. So Rava says, look, if it were just that impediment, I would say we could make a klal a prat. That's not it. So la'olam danim, v'chol ribuyehu. It just happens to be that we have the word kol, and kol obviously is to amplify and to tell us that it's not just limited to Mishkav and Moshav, it is in every regard he's going to be like a nida. It's a ribuy. So maskal v'rav Yaakov e makihi mahilo chalakta ba be magala mishkava latame adam latame begadim l'chom ra'af hu lo sachlu gubbo be mag'o le mishkava latame adam latame begadim l'kula. Now the Gemara makes one more attempt to redefine the halacha. And that is as follows. Look, here's a conclusion we're at. It's a little strange. She's a nida with all the tumah of a nida, as we already articulated. He's a boal nida. And the Torah says now that he's going to be like her, but not exactly like her, as we just established. And that a mishkav amoshav that he sits on is not going to be tamei legamre. It's not going to be an avatum. It's only going to be a rishon. So the Gemara says, once we're here, why don't we say the following? We've already now relaxed his tumah for mishkav. Why don't we relax it across the board? And why would we say that? Because look, why don't we give him uniformity just like a nida has uniformity? A nida has uniformity in that everything she comes into contact with and any chair she sits on is going to be an avatumah. So why don't we give the man, the bol nida, also uniformity with the starting point that his mishkav emoshav is going to be a rishon? So why don't we say that everything he touches should be a rishon and not an avatumah? That's the Gemara suggestion. Amarava alav lahatino mashma. So no, because the Torah says vatihi usihi nidasa alav. Her nida is going to be on him. The word alav, somewhat extraneous. The Gemara's understanding is that we're putting it on him. We're weighing it on him. Meaning, don't just simply say that he's just a rishon. No, he's going to be a nida. And so what we're doing is we're balancing in that usihi nidasa alav means that he is going to basically be like a nida in that he's going to be an avatama, but not to the full extent. And where do we lack the full extent? Mishkav Moshav. Okay, so to recap, we have learned the halachas of a bol nida, man who has relations with a nida. So again, there's an iser component, which is not our topic of discussion. You want to know more about the iser? Go back to Krisus, which we discussed actually pretty recently, in terms of the iser aspect of a bol nida. But we're focusing right now on the tuma. And a bol nida has a special and unique tuma, as outlined in Parshas Metzora, as explained by our Gemara Nida Daf Lamed Gimel. A bol nida is going to be is going to have more or less the status of a nida. More or less means as follows. First of all, he's tummy for 7 days, that the Torah says. 7 days, even though we had a havamina that his 7 days should match her 7 days, which means that if he was bol with her on day six, so he should be a nida day six. That's a havamina. The Gemara dismisses that. No, he's going to be tummy for a full 7 days. He's an avatoma, which means that anything he comes into contact with, Adam, Kalim, Ochlin, Mashkin, they're all going to be tummy. Obviously, he's an av, so that means that they're going to be a rishon, obviously. And where is the limits of a bol nida? The limit is going to be a mishkav amoshav. A chair that he sits on, a bed that he lies down on, is not going to be an avatoma, but it's only going to be a rishon latoma. Isn't he a nida? Isn't he have the status of a nida? The Gemara says, yes, but. Meaning by virtue of the fact that the Torah gave us the extra phrase, v'chol ha-mishkav, it's there to be menatek. It takes him away from the full status of a nida, and he won't get the halachas of mishkav ha-moshav.
Even though it's a rishon, there'll be all the levels of he's sitting on? All the levels?
Presumably not. Presumably only the top one.
Has to be a korban, right? Has to be a korban or a korban?
For being a bol nida?
Yes.
Mimnesha hein boale nidas. Adukula boale nidas. Gemara's question. Every kusi is a bal nida. They're ones who are really young. So I'm Rav Yitzchak Magdala ben Nesur Shano. So the Gemara just makes a simple clarification. The Mishnah's labeling of a kusi being a bal nida is only one that was married and was with a woman. Okay. V'hen yoshvos al dam. Tanya. Gemara quotes a brisa. This brisa over here is going to be explaining our Mishnah with clarity. Now, we already explained the Mishnah, and here, yesterday we explained the Mishnah clearly because I had Rashi to Lina. Meanwhile, the Gemara over here is going to say it. Obviously, Rashi got it from the Gemara over here. I got it from Rashi. Yeah, right. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Amar Amer Im Hein Yoshua Sakol Dam Vadam Takana Gedoli Yilahem. Every discharge of blood comes out, regardless of color. So you think that's wonderful. They're being machmir. Mm-hmm. Meaning, and by the way, I say it's wonderful. It's not wonderful to be machmir. Meaning, and certainly if there's no basis of the chumrah, so then that's not being machmir, that's being that's being silly. So the what Rameir's commenting on is the reason of the Mishnah seems to be a little bit strange. Look, if they're going to be sitting on every discharge that comes out of them, how could that be bad? Ella, but we explained this yesterday, but now the Braisa spells it out. So what's going to happen is as follows. First discharge that came out of them was something that was yellow in appearance. That's not a, she's not a nida. Yellow is not a nida. But again, because she's a kusi, and because the differences of colors is a drasha, and they don't subscribe to that, so they're going to treat it like a nida. Problem is that 4 days later, she's going to have a discharge of red. Well, she's saying, she's going to say, well, look, I'm already a nida, so this is just simply part of my nidas. She's only going to count 3 more days, right? This day and another 2 more days. And meanwhile, it's not correct what she's doing. So as a result of that, the husband is she's going to be a nida, meaning she's going to tov in the mikvah too early. And she's still a nida while she's toving in the mikvah. That tefillah in the mikvah didn't do anything. She's still a nida. Her husband's going to be a bal nida, meaning our Mishnah. Davar acher, yom sheposek is bo, sofrasa l'min yeshiva. And the Gemara says, and another thing, and that is as follows, is that when she's counting her Shiva Nakia, meaning let's say she's a Zava Gadola. As we know, a Zava Gadola is a woman who has 3 consecutive days of discharge during her Yemei Ziva. Those are the 11 days that follow the 7 days of Anida. So she's now what's called a Zava Gadola. What does she have to do to correct herself, to be Matar herself? So she has to count Shiva Nakim, 7 clean days. So here's the story. The story is that our Kusim, so what they do is the day they stop bleeding, that's day number 1. In other words, they don't wait till the next day to start counting Shiv Nakiyim. Okay. Now, Maskav LaRami Barchama, this upcoming Gemara is really interesting. Maskav LaRami Barchama Vitzpareno, Va'ananami Nispare. So Rami Barchama is thinking about this and saying, wait a second, that's so bad? Sounds okay. Not only that, says Rami Barchama, I think we should do it as well. And the Kaimalan makes us a Yom Kikulo. We have a principle in Shas, right? This is not a Kusi principle. This is a Masara, right? Perushim principle, and that is makes us Yom Kikulo. That under certain circumstances and occasions, and it's a limited rule, but still the rule is that part of the day is counted like the full day. So why don't we say over here that look. Part of the day was Bitahara, Mixas Ayom, Kikulam. So Amarava Im Kain, Shikh Bazara Dasasa Baziva Hechmishkachala. So the Gemara says, really, so interesting. You want to employ the idea of Mixas Ayom Kikulo as it relates to this topic of Shivanakim. He says, let me ask you the following question. You have a Zav, a male Zav. Now, in order for him and he's a Zav Gadol, which means that he had either 2 or 3 days of consecutive discharges. Okay, or not days. Days is inaccurate. 2 or 3 experiences of a discharge, and it doesn't have to be in 2 consecutive days. It can be even the same day. So, a question: he has to now count Shiva Nakiyim. So, is he ever going to? Let's say he's a Balkari during those seven days. Is that going to really disturb or disrupt his Shiva Nakiyim? If I were to employ the rule of Mixas Yom Kikulo. And the answer would be no. So v'ha mixas yom kikulo, meaning think about it. On day 3, he's a balkari. Okay, so that was the morning. I was a balkari. I got the rest of the day mixas yom kikulo. I'll count this now as one of my shiva nakiyim. Now e de chazai bepaga de yom achanami. So the Gemara still wants to argue this point, and the Gemara says, well, you know what? If he saw it in the beginning of the day, like I just described, so then you're right. So then mitzvah yom kikulon, the rest of the day is clean and he's good. So the Gemara says, well, what happened was is that he was a Balkari right at sunset going through Ben Hashmashos. So the Gemara says, "V'leikum lema leila kra ki kar ki ksive samach l'shkech achama ksive." So the Gemara says, "Wow, you are really taking me for a spin. You're telling me that the only time that the Shivna Kiyam is going to be disrupted is if a man is a Balkari, but only when he's a Balkari at shkech achama. That's the only time. And now you're going to also tell me that the pasuk which tells us that it has to be seven clean consecutive days is only limited to that circumstance?" And the response was, you know what? Is that such a, that really bothers you? Maybe the answer is yes. Meaning, yeah, we're gonna leave the pasuk. We're not leaving the pasuk totally. But we're gonna leave the simple pshat in the Torah because, look, we have a principle of mitzvah yom kikula. And it's really interesting because the Gemara doesn't end up giving us the other side of the argument. Meaning, Rami Bar Chama just asks an open-ended question of, you know, we have the principle of Mixas Yom Kikulo, and so why don't we say that, hey, they're right. Meaning, they're counting the last day of their Re'iyah as day number one of their Shivna Kiyam, and the argument is, well, look, part of the day is clean, and Mixas Yom Kikulo, and why don't we say that? And the Gemara is so fascinating because the Gemara now has officially come to an end. The Gemara doesn't discuss this point anymore. And Rami Bar Chama says, I think they're right. The pasuk in the Torah doesn't sound that way. Okay, but we have a principle, mixas yom kikulo. It's really interesting because it's not meaning, even though the Gemara ended here, meaning the conclusion is you don't count the last day of a Re'iyah as our first day of Shivna Kiyam. It doesn't count as mixas yom kikulo. So why not? So I will suggest, and I don't have a source for this. Just in other words, it's intuitive just by being around Shas long enough, but. And I may be right, but I'd be much happier right now if I had a source. But I would suggest that we say Mixas Yom Kikulo at the end of accounting, right? Every time we have the principle of Mixas Yom Kikulo, right? Shiva, right? After the loss of a relative. So you sit Shiva, you get up on the seventh day. So that is at the end where we say Mixas Yom Kikulo. We don't say Mixas Yom Kikulo in the beginning. We don't say Mixas Yom Kikulo in the middle. Okay, no, it's fine. By Shiva. That's a good point. That's an excellent point.
Which one?
No, he's right. I was trying to argue, but he's right.
What did he say?
And he said that by Shiva, so we do say Mixas Yom Kikulo on the Yom HaMisa. Yeah. I mean, better stated, on the Yom HaKvura, where you bury, and then an hour later, right, it's day number two, and you still count it. Okay, the point's well taken. Okay, it's a really interesting Gemara, because the Gemara doesn't really dismiss the suggestion, even though we know it's not an accepted suggestion. By Rami Bar Chama. Okay, so as if Rami Bar Chama didn't create enough trouble this morning. So by Rami Bar Chama. So next question, Rami Bar Chama. Toletz shech bezer mal shetistor beziva. Roa haisa visoseres. Oh Dilma nogaz haisa velo sasra. Okay, a woman who had relations with her husband. Now, it's a little bit uncomfortable, meaning she's a Zava right now. What is she doing having relations with her husband? So Rashi says over here, once again, we're going to be separating our Isser discussion and our Tumah discussion. In terms of the propriety of the act of relations between husband and wife here, it was improper. That's the way Rashi says it. You don't have to say the Gemara this way, but Rashi says it this way. I'm presenting the Gemara like Rashi. Okay. And it's the last Rashi in the Amud. Kigon Shishim Shebezov. Okay, so they had relations while she was a Zava. Fine. Here's the question of Rami Bar Chama. What's now going to happen is as follows, is that the Zera now was inseminated into her, but of course, some of it's going to come out. Now, while the Zera is inside of her, the Zera is an Avatoma. While the Zera is inside of her, so the Zera is not going to be Matame her, because it is inside of her. It is Balua. However, as it comes out now, so as it's emerging, so it's obviously going to be Tame. Now, Zera has potency for 3 days. We're going to be discussing this later in the Masechta. And so, therefore, because of its potency for 3 days, its Tuma is going to be for 3 days. Once the Zera is dried up and no longer potent, so it's no longer going to be a source of Tuma. Okay, fine. But the question becomes as follows. As the Zera is coming out of her, it's dripping out of her, so is she now going to be considered, is that for her considered a discharge, or is that considered Negiyah? Now, that makes a big difference. Because if she is a Zava, that means that she's counting Shivna Kiyam. If she is now considered to have a discharge, so that means that what do we say regarding her Shiva Nakiyam? Now her Shiva Nakiyam has been totally disrupted. She's counting 7 clean days, but with the emergence of the Zera that was inside of her, she is now discharging that, and so therefore that is going to take away her Shiva Nakiyam. She's going to have to count again. On the other hand, the other way to look at it is that, look, no, the Zera is not natural to her. It's not organic to her. It was inseminated into her. And maybe it comes out, we'll just simply say, she touched Tumah. But okay, so what, she touched Tumah? When she's counting her Shiva Nakiyam and she touches the Sheretz, is that going to affect her Shiva Nakiyam? No. The Shiva Nakiyam are only going to be adversely affected by a discharge that comes out of her. So basically the question on the table, it's really just a conceptually fascinating question, is that Zera can now consider something which is now natural to her, and so that its emergence now is considered a re'iyah, it's a discharge, or no, it's just simply a contact, it's negiyah. Now, and it's not going to be so, sir, her Shiva Nakiyam. So I'm a Rava Lefum Chorfa Shabashta. So Rava says to Rami Bar Chama, you're so smart. But sometimes you can be too smart. So thankfully, I don't suffer from that problem. So what's too smart about Rami Bar Chama? So Nihi Nami Desasra, Kama Tistor Shiva, Daya Kabo'ala, Tistor Yamachad. So the Gemara says, look, even if it is a Re'iyah, it's not going to be Soser all of her Shiva Nakiyam. It'll be Soser just one day. Kama Tistor Shiva, Daya Kabo'ala, Tistor Yamachad. The Achar Titar Marachmana, Achar Achal Kulam Shalote Tumas Mafsekas Beinayim. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? In other words, it's going to be a total Hefsek. Right, it is a total disturbance of the Shiva Nakiyam, and the Shiva Nakiyam have to be counted in consecutive days. And if we are going to be viewing the Zera coming out of her as a Re'iyah, as a discharge, so then she has to count Shiva Nakiyam again. So the Gemara says, now as far as the Zav is concerned, so how is that Stira going to be done? How is he going to be upsetting his counting? I'm Rechman Shalotei Tumah Mafsekes Beinayim. So Elamai Isach Lameh Mishlotei Tumah Ziva Mafsekes Beinayim. Hachana Mishlotei Tumah Ziva Mafsekes Beinayim. So the Gemara says no. In terms of what's going to be a full disruption of her Tumah, so that's only going to be, let's start with him. When it comes to him, what's going to be a full disruption of his Ziva? Meaning the man was a Zav Gadol, and now he's counting Shiva Nakiyam. The only thing that serves as a full disruption is going to be a Zav discharge. If it's a Balkari discharge, it only knocks off one day. What the Torah describes as being a full knockout of a Shiva Nakiyam is going to be when he has a Zav discharge. And the same thing regarding a woman. A woman, when she's counting Shiva Nakiyam, what's going to be a full disruption of a Shiva Nakiyam? Only a Zava discharge. If it's another type of discharge that she has, so then it's not going to be a full disruption. It's only going to knock off one day. So basically what the Gemara says is that that even if Rami Bar Chama is right, and even if the discharge that comes out is going to be the zera that comes out of her is going to be considered a re'iyah and not just contact. So even at that, it's still going to be knocking off not the full Shiva Nakiyam, but it'll knock off just one day. Important halacha, which I will just mention briefly, but really this is in of itself a length. This is really Hilchos Nida, a lot of Hilchos Nida. And Tosus makes this point over here. You can see the Bam Tosus on Lama Gimel and Aleph discussing this, and that's as follows. Nowadays, Bizmanenu, we treat every woman who has a discharge as a Zav Gadola. Okay, that's the Chumra of Rabbi Zera. We're going to see this Chumra later in the Masechta. Right, Andaf Samach Zayin, Samach Vav. Okay. As a result of that, our women, before they go to the mikvah, so they count Shiva Nakiyam. So when did they start counting Shiva Nakiyam? So presumably they can start counting Shiva Nakiyam right away. Right? In other words, they see, now I understand, they're not going to be seeing for one day, Dom. They're going to be seeing Dom for many days. But, Lu Yitzu, let's just speak in the theoretical. Let's say she just saw Dom for one day. So now, we treat that as a Zava Gadola, Bizmanenu, nowadays. And therefore, she counts Shiva Nakiyam. When did she start counting her Shiva Nakiyam? So, presumably right away, right? So Tosfos says, no, not right. No. Because what we just learned together. We just learned together that the Zera that was inside of her that comes out is going to be Soser. That'll prevent her from successfully counting that as a day of Shiva Nakiyam. And so therefore, there is a chance, a very good chance, that she was with her husband right before she was in Ida. And so therefore, she has the Zera inside of her. And then for the next 3, 4, possibly 5 days. Now, 5 days is a little bit tricky. Because, as I already explained moments earlier, the Zera only has potency for 3 days, and is only going to be Matami for 3 days. So how does it get to the numbers 4 and 5? That's the part where I don't want to go through right now. It just take a little bit longer to explain. But for the reason why women do not start counting the Shiva Nikim right away is because of this Gemara right over here. Because the Zera that's coming out of her is going to prevent her from being able to start counting her Shiva Nikim, and she's going to have to wait until the Zera is no longer has the effectiveness of being metame and preventing her from counting her shivnikim.
Are they considered that the zera may mask the blood?
No. What? No.
The zera that's coming out is masking blood, so she cannot really.
No. The zera. No. It's just that the zera is gonna prevent the shivnikim. It's no longer a yom naki. It's not a clean day in which she's counting. Okay. Ein chayavin aleim abias mikdash. Okay, one more section, and we're going to get to the Mishnah. If they go into the Mikdash, they're not going to be subject to the Chiyuv, right? The Mishnah, go back, take a look at the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. On the bottom of Laman Alpha Med Beis, the Mishnah tells us, Ein Chayav Nalayim Abiyas Mikdash, Vein Surf Nalayim Mr. Truma, Minesha Tumah, Sam Safek. The Tumah of these people, meaning the Kusim, are that of a Safek, and as a result of that, so they are not going to be chayv if they go into the base of Mikdash, nor are we going to burn the Truma. Gemara's discussion. Great story. Rapapa ikla l'tavach. So Rapapa goes to a town by the name of Tavach Amar. And he made the following statement. Ika tzubra mirabana hacha ezel akabel ape. So local Talmidei Chachamim, anyone around? I'd love to meet one. So Amar le aisafta. So an elderly woman said, yep. So ika hacha tzubra mirabana rav Shmuel Shemei. So there is a young Talmidei Chacham over here. His name is Rav Shmuel. Right, not the same as our, you know, the Shmuel that's more popular. First of all, this is Rav Shmuel. Secondly, it's Rav Papa, which is a couple generations later. But anyway, so we have a Talmid Chacham. His name is Shmuel. Utani Masnisa, and he learns a lot of Brisos. He's really fluent with Tanayim, Mishnayos, Brisos. Yei Rava did to have a kavase, and I hope that one day you, she says to Rav Papa, I hope one day you become like him. Okay. So Amar, so Rav Papa was really impressed. Midika mavarche li bigave. I got a bracha that I should be like him. So shema mina yare shamayim hu azul agabe. So he's a real yare shamayim, and now I want to meet him. So Ramle Tura. So when Rav Shmuel hears the Rav Papa's coming, so obviously Rav Shmuel, right? He's a Talmid Chacham, but Rav Papa is a gadol, the gadol bador, and he's so excited, and so he prepares a suda for Rav Papa's arrival. So Ramle Tura, that's the expression of he prepared nax, and Ramle Masisa Nadade. And also, so Rav Shmuel, who knew his Mishnayos, knew his Brisos, so he had questions. And he asked the following question to Rav Papa. So tonight, so while they're sitting down eating a meal, enjoying each other's company, so they're talking in Torah, and Rav Shmuel had a difficult question for Rav Papa. And the question goes like this. So we start with our Mishnah. And now, contrast that with another Mishnah, Mishnah Taharos. I'm going to start first, before we get to the Mishnah Taharos. Amma. Misfeka lo starfina truma. Look, in terms of the status of the Baal Nida, it's a suffix. If he were to touch truma, we're not going to burn the truma. Okay, and the principle seems to be pretty clear. Don't burn truma because of a suffix. Now, here's the problem. Problem is, Ramini, al shisha sfeko starfina truma, al suffix big day am aretz. So for 6 fekos do I burn truma, and one of them is suffix big day am haaretz. The clothing of an Amaretz. An Amaretz is not careful about Tumat Tahara, and therefore his clothing is generally labeled and branded as going to be a source of Tumah. And not only that, but the Mishnah Tahara says that if that clothing came into contact with Truma, you burn the Truma. Now, we don't know definitively the status of the Begadim, and meanwhile, you burn the Truma over a Suffolk. Our Mishnah here, Nida, tells us that we do not burn Truma based on a Tumah Suffolk. The Mishnah Tahara says you do. And so, Rav Shmuel says to Rav Papa, as they're sitting down and eating delicious oxen together, how do you explain that? So, Amar Rav Papa, Yehi Rav Atitidach Haitur L'Shama. So, the first thing that Rav Papa does is he makes a tefillah, right? He prays. I really hope that we get to eat this meal in peace, right? I hope I'm able to give him a successful answer, and let's try this out. Hacha b'mayiskinim b'kusi chaver. So over here we could be talking about where the kusi was a kusi chaver, meaning, in our Mishnah, we're describing a kusi, and we're not burning the truma. Why not? The clothing. Isn't that a clothing of an Amaretz? Meaning the Gemara is making an assumption that the kusi is an Amaretz. And And it's a good assumption. The Kusim, as we already explained, so they're not learning Drashas Chazal. They're not holding by Drashas Chazal. And so isn't our Kusim an Amaretz? And so therefore you should burn the Truma. The answer our Papa says is, well, maybe it's situational. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about a case where the Kusi in question is a Chaver. So the Gemara says, Kusi Chaver Bol Nida Mashulei? Really? The Kusi of our Mishnah is a Tamu Chacham? He wouldn't be having relations with a Nida. So Rav Shmuel just dismissed the answer of Rav Papa. It's not a good answer. Shavke. And Rav Papa left. And as Rashi points out, and Rav Papa wasn't so happy. Because he wasn't successful. He didn't give a successful answer. And he knew he wasn't successful.
He didn't
meal? What happened? What just happened?
He didn't eat the meal?
I don't know. Yeah, Danny.
Isn't there an opinion that Kusim are not even Jewish?
No, I understand. We are, yeah. So, yesterday, I pointed out that the assumption of our mission and our discussion is that we're in the Tkufa where the Kusim are accepted as Jews. You're right. The punchline, the conclusion of the Gemara is that they were no longer even accepted as Jews. But that's later. And the Mishnah's discussion, the Gemara's discussion, is dealing with the Tkufa that they are. Okay. So now, where Rav Papa came back a little bit humbled, and now he's going over the question with others, and he's talking now to Rav Shimi Bar Ashi. So the Gemara says, well, why can't we say the following? Maybe the Kusi in question of our Mishnah, again, it's a situational answer, but the answer would sound like this. The Kusi in question, Tovel in the Mikvah, came right out of the Mikvah, Daris al Bigdei Chaver, and then stepped on the clothing of the Chaver. Va'azle Bigdei Chaver v'naga b'truma. And the Bigdei Chaver went and touched Truma. Imishum Tumas Ama Aretz HaTavalei. So what are you worried about? The general Tumah of an Ama Aretz, in this situation, he just tov on the mikvah. V'imishum Bal Nida, Safik Bal Bekarav, Safik Lo Bal Bekarav. And maybe, look, the Kusi was with his wife, and so maybe he's a Bal Nida, but we don't know that for sure. First of all, it could be that she wasn't in Nida at the time. And even if he did have relations with her, but there's only a chance that she's a Nida when he was Baal her, because again, of the situation that we raised earlier. She first saw a yellow discharge, then supplemented with a red discharge. She counted the yellow discharge as the beginning, but that didn't have to be, meaning that's only a possibility. And so over here, Vahabi Sveik Sveika. So there are a number of possibilities, one piled on top of another. It's a sveik sveika. Vasveik sveika. Just give me a moment. Vasveik sveika, lo safrina truma. And we're not going to be burning truma over sveik sveika. So basically, you could explain our Mishnah. Rav Shimi's answer is very similar to Rav Papa's, but he incorporated all the possibilities. And basically, our Mishnah is situational. That's the Rav Shimi answer, but it's just a little bit more refined than the answer that was provided by Rav Shmuel. V'tepek lebishum bigdei amaretz. Damar bigdei amaretz midras leprushim. So the Gemara says, what about the clothing that the Kusi was wearing at the time? Meaning he's not a Kusi Chaver, right? That we dismissed that out of hand. That was Rapapa's suggestion, no. Okay, fine. But he himself is wearing clothing. So the clothing that he's wearing, that already serves as medras. Meaning, why wouldn't you burn the Truma? So Amar Leh B'Kusi Arum. Okay, so again, once we're giving a situational answer, so we're going to, the situation is unlikely, but it's a situational answer. So the Kusi in question just came right out of the Mikvah, and touched the begadim of the chaver while he himself was not clothed. So he himself now is not tamei because he just tov in the mikvah. The clothing that he's wearing, he's not wearing clothing. And the fact that he's bol nida, so we have the compound sfeikos one on top of the other. So for that, we're not going to burn truma if our kusi were to touch the truma. That's our mishnah, the mishnah to Aharos, without all those clauses and provisos. Yeah, isn't that right? You're right again. So you're right again. So that seems to. I know. It's good. It's a good habit to be in. So it's an interesting conclusion of the Gemara, meaning that even with all that, they're still going to be told of the truma, even though it's a sfeik sveika. But again, I guess it's a gzera derabanan, and included in the gzera derabanan is, I know it's a lot of sfeikos compounded one on top of the other, but still, they touch truma, that's it, don't eat it.